held off on attacking Iran, saying he wanted to give peace talks some space. Now the two sides are back to fighting. A former U.S. ambassador to Saudi Arabia explains why that country is being drawn into the conflict. It's Morning Edition from NPR News. Israeli settlers entered a Palestinian village in the occupied West Bank that's supposed to be off limits to Israeli citizens. It set off a week of violence. I'm Michelle Martin.
And I'm Leila Fadil. Palestinians there are on guard through the night in case settlers attack. Also, uncertainty over what will happen to Trump's trade deal with Mexico and Canada is freezing manufacturing investments in Texas. And Javier Bardem on why it's so much fun to play a psychopath like his character in the new Cape Fear. It's Thursday, July 30th. The blues giant Buddy Guy turns 90 today. The news is next.
Live from NPR News in Washington, I'm Janine Herbst. The U.S. is striking Iran again overnight in response to Iran striking U.S. forces in Jordan. U.S. Central Command says it targeted military command centers, missile and drone facilities, and coastal surveillance sites. Saudi Arabia has now joined U.S. military escalations against Iran-backed militia in Iraq. And Egypt says an American ship in one of their ports was set on fire by an apparent drone, though no country has claimed responsibility. At least 8 people are dead, dozens wounded, as Russia pounded Ukraine overnight with hundreds of drones and missiles. NPR's Greg Myrie has more.
President Volodymyr Zelensky warned in a late-night post on social media that Russia was planning a major attack. Hours later, the bombing began with missile and drone fire on multiple cities, including the capital, Kyiv. The deadliest attack was in the central city of Kryvyi Rih, where local officials said 6 members of an extended family were killed. The bombardment came 2 days after Zelensky met President Trump at the White House and asked for more air defense weapons. Russia carries out airstrikes nightly and periodically unleashes a massive barrage in an attempt to overwhelm Ukraine's limited air defenses. Greg Myrie, NPR News, Kyiv.
Dr. Anthony Fauci faced tough questions from Republicans on Capitol Hill yesterday about his work during the COVID pandemic. Homeland Security Committee Chair Senator Rand Paul has argued for years that COVID came from a lab in China and claims Fauci concealed that, which Fauci denies. Fauci did refuse to answer questions, though, invoking his Fifth Amendment rights, as NPR's Ari Daniel reports.
Before President Biden left office, he granted Fauci a blanket pardon covering him from 2014 through early 2025. But legal experts say Fauci could still be accused of perjury if, say, he said something at yesterday's hearing that contradicted what he said in the past under oath. It's worth noting that invoking the Fifth Amendment is not an admission of wrongdoing.
NPR's Ari Daniel reporting. The Federal Reserve is holding interest rates steady. NPR's Scott Horsley has more.
The Federal Reserve's rate-setting committee voted 9-3 to leave the central bank's benchmark interest rate unchanged. The three dissenters said they would have preferred a quarter-point rate increase in an effort to curb stubborn inflation. Fed Chairman Kevin Warsh notes that market-based interest rates are already climbing, even though the Fed's benchmark hasn't changed. That's encouraging for Warsh, who wants the Fed to play a smaller role in the U.S. economy.
After all, the central bank need not always and everywhere be the center of attention.
With inflation still elevated and the war with Iran still rattling energy markets, investors see a better-than-even chance that the Fed will raise interest rates at its next policy meeting in September. Scott Horsley, NPR News, Washington.
And you're listening to NPR News. In southern Arizona this week, contractors demolished a grove of historic cottonwood trees as the Trump administration makes way for new border walls in the area. Arizona Public Media's Angela Gervasi has more.
Contractors uprooted 3 cottonwoods in the San Rafael Valley on Monday. That move drew outcry from conservation groups and residents who say the trees hold deep cultural and ecological significance. Earlier this summer, resident Laurie Butler described the cottonwoods as the heart of the valley.
They've been sort of guardians over that whole community. When people say, let's go meet at the cottonwoods, everybody knows where that is.
The Sierra Club estimates the trees are more than 200 years old. As of Wednesday, one cottonwood remains standing, with conservationists organizing a sit-in to prevent its demolition. It comes as the Department of Homeland Security plans to build 2 parallel border walls across the valley. For NPR News, I'm Angela Gervasi in Lokile, Arizona.
File this under Better Late Than Never. In Australia, a book was returned to a public library late, very late. Officials say the book, titled Antiquities of Athens, was found by a man doing renovations. Officials say the book was found inside a tea crate that was bricked up inside a sealed fireplace, and it's only some 150 years late. The library says the fine would be around 28,000 Australian dollars, but the chance of collection is slim. That's because records from the 1870s have been lost. The library says the book will be displayed in its local history collection, but no, it won't be loaned out again. I'm Janine Herbst, NPR News in Washington.
Support for NPR comes from NPR stations. Other contributors include the Lodestar Foundation, inspired by the principle that helping those in need is a path to a happier, healthier, and more meaningful life. Learn more at lodestarfoundation.org. This is NPR.
Hey, it's A. Martinez from NPR's Morning Edition, here to wish KAXE a happy 50th anniversary. As the first rural public radio station in the nation, KAXE has proven that world-class public media can grow from small towns and deep roots. KAXE reflects northern Minnesota with reporting on local government meetings, student nature observations, and programs such as Green Cheese Trivia, On the River, and Headwaters that provide a curated music soundtrack every day. NPR is honored to celebrate KAXE and 50 years of rural storytelling, trusted local and national news and music.
You can do your part and keep KAXE going strong into the future. Become a member. Text the word donate, 218-326-1234.
Nothing's really something now, the whole thing's so.
It's Morning Edition from NPR News. I'm Michelle Martin.
And I'm Leila Fadel. More attacks between the U.S. and Iran are increasing fears of a return to all-out war.
U.S. Central Command says it launched a wave of airstrikes overnight while U.S. bases in Jordan came under Iranian attack. Saudi Arabia joined Americans' attacks in Iraq on Wednesday. In a few minutes, we'll speak with a former U.S. ambassador to Saudi Arabia, Michael Ratney, about those developments. But we're going to begin with the view from the ground.
NPR's Jane Arraf joins us now to talk about this from Amman, Jordan. Good morning, Jane.
Good morning, Leila.
So just a few days ago, it looked as if the U.S. and Iran were pausing attacks to give diplomacy a try. And now we're back to attacks. What happened?
CENTCOM says it launched a heavy wave of strikes against Iran overnight. It said the targets included military command centers and missile facilities. That's in retaliation for what the U.S. military called a surprise Iranian attack on Wednesday at the Muwaffaq al-Salti Air Base in the Jordanian desert, where the U.S. has a major military presence. It's also where three U.S. soldiers were killed in an Iranian attack this month. Iran itself launched more missiles at U.S. forces in Jordan on Thursday. The U.S. and Jordan said they were shot down. But a lot of analysts see this as Iran testing the U.S. under a harder line regime that succeeded Supreme Leader Ali Khamenei, who was killed by the U.S. at the beginning of the war.
Yeah, and then the U.S. and Saudi Arabia, which has not been publicly involved before, attacked Iraq. Tell us what's happening there.
Yeah, Saudi Arabia has blamed Iran-backed militias in Iraq for damaging attacks on one of its major oil refineries. But the Iraqi government says Saudi Arabia has never provided any evidence. In retaliation, the U.S. and Saudi on Wednesday launched a wave of airstrikes against at least seven militia bases, killing at least 20 people. And the key thing, as you know, Leila, these are militias fostered and supported supported by Iran that flourished after the U.S. invasion of Iraq. Some of them are now officially part of government forces. So that puts the new Iraqi prime minister, Ali al-Zaidi, in a huge bind. He promised President Trump in a Washington meeting that he would bring those militias fully under government control. But given how powerful they are, both in security and politics, it's proved impossible for previous governments and could be equally difficult for him.
So the conflict is widening even further, it seems. What happens now with Iraq?
Well, there's definitely heightened tension. The Iraqi prime minister held an emergency security meeting yesterday. Iraq has rejected attacks on its sovereignty, which is a reference to U.S. and Saudi strikes. And they've noted that U.S. forces have already withdrawn from Iraqi bases at the Iraqi request. They are, of course, though, still in the Kurdistan region of Iraq. Fighters and Iranian security advisors who were killed in those strikes were buried yesterday. Here's a bit of what that sounded like. That funeral procession in Baghdad included chants of death to Saudi rulers and death to America. The chief of staff of paramilitary groups attached to the Iraqi defense ministry said no one can disarm them. And the Iran-backed militias themselves, who call themselves the resistance, gave the Iraqi government a deadline of next Thursday to respond to the U.S.-Saudi attacks. That deadline is a day after a hugely significant Shia religious commemoration already underway. It's where millions of people gather in Karbala, the holy city of Karbala. It's a month-long event where religious sentiment is particularly high, commemorating the Battle of Karbala and the killing of Imam Hussein 1,400 years ago. Many Shias believe what's happening now continues what they see as a historical injustice.
That's NPR's Jane Araf in Amman, Jordan. Thank you, Jane.
Thank you.
Michael Ratney is with us now for a closer look at how the Saudis are approaching the war in the Gulf. He was U.S. ambassador to Saudi Arabia in the Biden administration, that after extensive diplomatic experience in the region. He's now at the Center for Strategic and International Studies. That's a bipartisan nonprofit research organization. Good morning, Mr. Ratney. Thanks so much for joining us, Ambassador, I should say.
Good morning, Michelle.
So the U.S. and Israel launched their war against Iran more than 5 months ago. Why do you think the Saudis chose to publicly enter the fighting now?
So the Saudis are trying to strike a balance. They don't want a full-scale resumption of conflict because I think they fear they'll bear the brunt of an Iranian reprisal. And just witness the Iranians attack Jordan and Egypt in the past couple of days. That was a message to the whole region that they still have a lot of power. On the other hand, Saudi was just attacked by Iranian proxies, both from Iraq against critical infrastructure in the eastern province of Saudi Arabia, but also the Houthis in Yemen striking Saudi oil tankers and threatening to cut off maritime traffic through the Bab el-Mandeb. I think the Saudi view was they couldn't leave that unanswered. That was kind of their critical interests, and they remember 2019 when Iran or Iranian proxies attacked their oil infrastructure in the eastern province and nothing happened. So they couldn't let it go unanswered this time.
What's your sense of how Saudi military involvement might evolve in the coming days and weeks?
So I think they have no interest in a full-scale escalation. If the war escalates, especially if they're involved, I think they feel like the Iranians are going to target them. And at this point, the Saudis don't want their energy infrastructure targeted. There could be damage to water desalination facilities, to civilian population centers. It could be disastrous for their economy. They hate the Iranian regime, but they just want this war behind them, but in a way that protects their vital interests.
I take your point that what I think I hear you saying is that the Saudis at this moment felt they really had no choice. But I think a lot of people might remember that the tensions with Saudi Arabia surfaced over President Trump tying this newly signed nuclear power deal to the Saudis normalizing relations with Israel. And so I was wondering, you know, given that context, is it surprising for the U.S. and Saudi militaries to stage these joint strikes on these Iran-affiliated groups in Iraq?
So I think the Saudis, as well as anybody, know that kind of policymaking in Washington is not exactly linear, right? So some kind of weird arrangement could happen when this nuclear deal was announced and President Trump throws in a condition at the last minute. On the other hand, there's discussions about how to respond to Iranian aggression that affects Saudi interest at the same time, right? So the Saudis, like other U.S. partners, one of their overriding considerations is just trying to keep things on an even keel with the Trump administration. And I think that means understanding that things are not necessarily going to be coherent.
And I do take your point that the Saudis don't want to widen this war, but does their involvement risk widening the war?
Sure. I mean, we've seen in the past couple of days the war widening in a number of ways, although President Trump seems to want to back away from a full-scale resumption of conflict. The Iranians keep reminding everybody that they're there and they're still pretty potent with the ability to threaten our partners throughout the whole region. The Saudis get involved, and that potentially triggers more reprisals from Iranian proxies in Iraq, in Yemen, and elsewhere. There's always huge risk whenever other parties get into a conflict like this.
And before we let you go, we have about a minute left. What are the Saudis' capabilities, you know, primarily?
So they have years of collaboration with the U.S. military and a pretty potent air force. We've seen in this operation in Iraq, though, that to be truly effective, it had to be done in partnership with the United States. And I think they appreciated the fact that the United States was willing to join in at that point. But their abilities at this point are principally their air power. And I think they want to send a message that they're ready and willing to kind of resume their involvement if their critical interests are affected.
And diplomatically?
Diplomatically as well. You know, I just saw a report that they have marshaled or in the process of marshaling a lot of international support for an operation in the Bab el-Mandeb in the Red Sea to try to police Houthi threats. And that really suggests considerable diplomatic and regional influence that they could bring to bear.
That's Michael Ratney. He's a former U.S. ambassador to Saudi Arabia. Ambassador, thank you so much for joining us.
My pleasure.
The Senate Judiciary Committee has postponed a vote on Todd Blanche's nomination for Attorney General. Two Republicans on the committee are withholding their support over concerns about the Justice Department's deal with President Trump to end his IRS lawsuit. NPR Justice Correspondent Ryan Lucas reports.
The holdup in Todd Blanche's bid for Attorney General centers around the agreement the Justice Department struck to end President Trump's IRS lawsuit over his leaked tax returns. The settlement included the creation of a nearly $1.8 billion anti-weaponization fund, and a second related part was a sweeping immunity deal for Trump, his family, and businesses from audits of past tax returns. Blanche has said the fund is not moving forward, but Texas Republican Senator John Cornyn has concerns that it could be resurrected. Cornyn and North Carolina Republican Tom Tillis also want written guarantees from the Justice Department about the scope of the tax immunity deal. Speaking to reporters Wednesday outside his office, Cornyn said the department hasn't provided them.
For some reason, I don't know whether it's the staff of the DOJ or who it is, but they simply, they know what they need to do, but they simply refuse to do it.
Asked what the holdup has been, Cornyn said he has no idea.
Beats me. Maybe they think I'm just going to give up or, you know, go along, but they're mistaken.
A Justice Department official says the department provided a written proposal to Cornyn's office on Tuesday. The official says the DOJ looks forward to further discussion around any outstanding concerns. Asked by reporters how he would vote as things stand now, Cornyn said this.
I'm not prepared to vote yes. Let me put it that
would
way.
Tillis, he said, is on the same page. Both men are leaving Congress at the end of the year. At the White House, President Trump was asked by reporters about Cornyn and his demands. Trump reiterated his support for Blanche and called him outstanding.
You just wouldn't find a better person. So I don't know, maybe John Cornyn's upset with me because I didn't endorse him.
Despite Trump's bravado, Blanche still needs the support of both Cornyn and Tillis for his nomination to advance out of the Senate Judiciary Committee. Late Wednesday, the committee's Republican chairman, Iowa's Chuck Grassley, announced the planned vote on Blanche was postponed as work continues to secure the necessary support for his nomination. Ryan Lucas, NPR News, Washington.
This is NPR News.
Each morning on KEXE, you're invited to be part of a conversation. Conversation about people and the place we live.
Today, I'm joined by someone who was close with Cyrus One, Mitch Blessing. We talk about Cyrus's career in art and his legacy.
Cyrus Swan, who was he? He's a little kid from northern Minnesota, immensely talented, lived out in the woods, played in the woods, collecting rocks and sticks.
Time for a bright spot, a chance to highlight good things happening in northern Minnesota.
Today we are meeting a local athlete, high school senior Gabby Findey. She broke the all-time scoring record for Cass Lake Bina basketball. Keep the KEXE Morning Show conversations going with your support now. Text the word donate to 218-326-1234. I'm Heidi Holton with Jennifer Barr and Andrew DeZink. Good morning. It is 6:21. Thanks for tuning in. It's Thursday morning, and it is the summer membership drive at KAXE. Thank you so much for being here. Thank you for being there for us for the last 50 years. If you are new to listening to KAXE, to coming to our events, to reading our news online at kaxe.org, we're asking for your help. How can you do that? You can become a member. Whether it's $1,000 you can give this morning, or maybe you can do $60, you're going to help keep KAXE on the air. It's been a year since we lost all federal funding, and we continue to find new ways to build our budget, to pay the bills, to keep KAXE going. We can do that with your help. Call us at 218-326-1234. Jeff Sundin is away this week. We'd love to hear from you. Have you been out fishing? You been out on the lake during these hot times? You can text us this morning, 218-326-1234. Today, I'm sporting the brand new T-shirt at KAXE. We can get you that when you pledge your support at $20 a month, $240 for the year or above. It is a reminder of how great the music is that you hear on KAXE. It says, just say no to algorithms, handpicked since 1976. And that's what it's all about. Great music, conversations with your friends and neighbors, trusted news, local and national. And now we need you to get us off to a great start. It is early morning, but if we get those five, when we get those five people getting us going this morning, that means we get an extra $1,000 unlocked, thanks to our generous people who want to make sure that this fundraiser goes well as we continue to live in a world with different funding models. We've got lots of ways we've been working on things, but the most important thing we can do is make sure that people like you know how important you are to us. Music is so important. We'd love to hear from you this morning as we celebrate KEXE. What music would you never have heard of before you listened in? We're going to listen here to some great blues musician Mavis Staples on this Thursday, July 30th.
Sometimes I get so sad. Sometimes you just make me mad. It's a sad and beautiful world. It's a just won't go. Sometimes I just won't say no. this one seems like the last. It's a sad and beautiful world. It's a
we go. Going out to a great friend of KEXE, Mavis Staples there. I would assume would also be a friend of KEXE.
100%.
Sad song, but beautiful song as well. As she says, sad and beautiful world. 627. That's Kari Hedlund. I'm Heidi Holton. Jeff Sundin's away today, but he'll be back with us next week and we'll be talking fishing. Good to see you, Kari.
Good to see you too, Heidi. And we're here in our summer member drive, and we're asking for your support of membership today. We wrap this up on Saturday, and we've got a ways to go before we reach our goal of $50,000. But we know we can do it. We just need your help to cross this finish line this time. And it is something we do 3 times a year. We ask for your support. It is still the best proven way to get new members, renewing members, increasing membership, however, whatever bucket you fall into, we're talking to you. Call 218-326-1234 or go to kaxe.org.
Don't forget, we're independent, we're local. It's music you can't get anywhere else. You're not just going to pop into a radio station at 6:20 in the morning and hear Mavis Staples.
And not only that, but Heidi, that personal connection and tribute, that is something that is so very KAXE in a way that is really means a lot. You know, it's a radio station, but it's truly a community of people. Mm-hmm. You see the same people at maybe concerts or festivals that you've gone to in the past. You start to see some of, you know, familiar faces and
familiar dreadlocks.
Familiar dreadlocks, exactly. And you know, that all means something, and we're real people and we have real feelings about the people that are part of this community too.
We need a gong, Kari.
Oh yeah, that's right.
Let's do it. We got a pledge to KEXE.org, and we thank so much from Boston, Dr. Gonzo. Becoming a member, grabbing the brand new t-shirt that celebrates the music, that dares us to understand that there are not algorithms.
Do we think Dr. Gonzo is the cheese name, or is this really the name? Because that's a great name.
I don't know.
Regardless of what it is.
I'm hoping it involves the Muppet Show. I don't know. I mean, Gonzo on the Muppets was not a doctor, you know, but Dr. Teeth was the leader of the band on the Muppets, but Gonzo was certainly there and very important.
Was Gonzo the one with a really large nose?
There was. I think maybe an aardvark. I'm not sure. I mean, we know.
Yeah.
You know, a puppet, a Muppet.
Right.
You know.
Right.
And I'm thinking Dr. Gonzo and Fossen is not a Muppet, but understands the importance of independent media.
I mean, kind of hope he is, honestly.
Muppets can pledge all day long. It is Muppet Day. Did you know that the Muppet Show, the Muppets, began in 1976?
No way.
Yep.
Same year as KAXE.
Yep.
Two of the greatest things.
No kidding. Let's talk about this match on the table. We got the first membership so that we know, that first pledge, that we can make it this morning.
That's right. We matches are on the table here of, we've got, trying to find it here.
We are looking for five, actually four now, to unlock an extra $1,000.
All right. We've got this in the bag, Heidi. Yeah. I know we can do this. That is extra money that goes right towards our goal. And that's from members and people who have, you know, contributed to help us encourage folks to be members, to become new members. Go to kaxe.org or call 218-326-1234.
This will get all the Muppets calling in this morning, don't you think?
I mean, obviously.
Phenomena. 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 Phenomena.
Give us a gong there. We heard from Carol from White Bear Lake, who wants to make sure the great music, even the music of the Muppets, keeps on going strong.
I'm sure
here.
That's exactly what Carol was thinking.
Kari, you were probably, did you ever see The Muppet Show? Was it rerun when you were growing up?
Reruns, yes.
Talk about great music.
Talk about also some adult humor.
Oh boy, yeah. I loved it so much. I loved it. Carol, thank you so much. Carol's going to get that brand new t-shirt as a thank you gift, getting us towards our match, getting us going. We are in the process. We can do this to raise $50,000 by Saturday night. We can't do it without you. It's one by one. People coming forward who understand this is independent and you are needed. 218-326-1234. Whatever you can afford to give, maybe you can do $1,000, maybe you can do $60. The important thing is that it happens right now. We keep it going this morning. It's Thursday morning. It's a fun morning. We are talking about local events and people that are passionate about their communities. We'll have Chris Walker coming in from the Grand Rapids Downtown
Business Alliance.
That's right.
Yeah.
And John Taylor Ward from Lakes Area Music Festival, now star of the shared memes and crazy videos that have been coming out of. I've been loving watching Taylor
Ward. What? I need to go find these.
So much fun he's having getting ready for this year's Lakes Area Music Festival. They have lots of things that lead up to the event, but I believe the gala is tonight or tomorrow night. He's going to tell us more about it. Ballet, opera, orchestral music, you name it.
Would you know about these things were it not for KAXE? If you don't live in that area, you know, sometimes a lot, we all know there's so much richness that happens in our communities that doesn't get conveyed to others in other communities. And not that you have to, you know, shout from the rooftop, but sometimes it's It's so nice as a citizen of Northern Minnesota to hear all of the wealth of opportunities and arts and experiences that are available to us. And hopefully that's something KAXE provides to you. If so, please give $5 a month. You can give $20 a month and get our KAXE Just Say No to Algorithms shirt. Getting a lot of love on social media there. We'd love to hear from you right now, KAXE.org.
We heard from Vincent in Lafayette, Indiana. He texted in. He said Gonzo was his own species, sort of a penguin and vulture cross.
Yeah, kind of a penguin. I see that for sure. That Muppet song, Menomina, is a favorite of my daughter and mine. Oh. And it's so fun to listen to in the car.
Yeah.
Because they have the different, however they mixed it.
Right.
Is like, you know, coming from the front right speaker, and then it's coming from the back left speaker.
And then when it just gets weird.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
You know, it's so great. Yeah.
Yes.
Let's talk about the weather for today. We've got a chance of showers. Thunderstorms are possible in the afternoon. Highs 86 to 89. South winds from 5 to 15. Showers and thunderstorms are likely for tonight. Cloudy with lows in the mid-60s. And we do have a continued chance of showers and thunderstorms tomorrow. Partly sunny. Highs in the upper 70s to low 80s. With evening lows tomorrow in the upper 50s to low 60s. And then sunny on Saturday, highs 82 to 87 degrees.
Was the sun coming up as you were coming in today, Heidi?
Not quite yet.
It was huge and red.
Mm.
So we'll see what the day brings us for that weather. We receive support from area businesses like Bonner Eye Clinic, with locations in Grand Rapids and Hibbing, offering cataract surgery, LASIK, and general eye exams. BonnerEyeClinic.com. Let us help you see clearly. Hey, going on tonight, KAXE is celebrating free music bingo at Bemidji Brewing tonight.
Oh, yeah.
Starts at 6 o'clock. It's one of those where you hear the song and you name it, and then you mark your bingo card. Again, first round starts at 6. You don't have to be there right away at the beginning, but that'll be tonight at Bemidji Brewing. Also coming up today at 11, we're continuing our Hot Dish Time Machine this week, all week long, where we're hearing lots of voices from the past, voices from the present. Some, you know, are current volunteers still. But it's been a really great week to hear stories of the years, you know, all the years, the 50 years KAXE's been here. Coming up today, we are continuing the intergenerational experience with Brian and Cage Jamber. That'll be from 11 to 1. And then tomorrow, Papa Steve Ross coming to host On the River, the Dead Set.
Going to be a lot of fun. Brian's remembering back to when he worked at KAXE. I was here then too, and he's in the hot closet, you know, making sure everything was running well. And it's going to be a lot of fun. The father-son duo there, and musicians, longtime KAXE supporters. Really going to be a fun day of programming as always. You know, when you tune into the morning show, you get this mix of conversation and music. And I just want to give a shout out to the rest of the morning show staff, all the co-hosts, Kari, you, like Dan Gannon, like Heather Johnson, like
Larissa Donovan now.
That's right. Like Malachi Coons, like Steve Noy, like Sarah Bignell. So many people that are the co-hosts and help out from KAXE. But those folks, like Jennifer Barr and Andrew DeZingle and Charlie Mitchell, that make the bones and the structure of the morning show work each and every day. Big shout out to them and how well we all work together, because we believe so strongly in the work we do here at KAXE and being a welcoming place for people as they begin their day.
Yeah, it's, it's just such a great example. The morning show to me, like, is a culmination of everything that we do, all mixed into one. And you guys keep us on the straight and narrow, and it's a great ship where you're leading. So
yeah, on KAXE's actual birthday, April 23rd, we had a storytelling event, and a lot of our staff were there and told stories. So we're going to listen to Jennifer Barr's story from that evening.
So good to see all of you here tonight, and 50 years ago right now, KAXC signed on the air. But sadly, I grew up in a land without KAXC. In West Central Minnesota, I only knew commercial radio. And when that's all you know, it's not so bad. The first time this voice appeared on the air was in 1993 on Q102. I called in for their Breakfast College of Trivia Knowledge and won. But credit goes to my mom. Who knows who sang Louie Louie? The Kingsmen. Radio is ever present. Early memories include dancing with my dad to the hits of the earlies each night after supper while mom did the dishes. When I was a bit older, we played games every Saturday night while listening to Saturday Night Cruise, an oldies request show on WLTE. I am an introvert at heart, was always labeled the quiet kid. But when thinking about careers, I really like the idea of sharing information, maybe as a journalist, but that seemed pretty scary. I realized with radio, you could also play music, and it wasn't TV, where I presumed you had to be pretty. And the thought of talking to everyone, but no one at the same time, was very appealing. In high school youth group, one time at church, we were talking about what we wanted to do in the future, and I was brave enough to say I was kind of thinking about radio. And a girl named, let's call her Lucy, she was a real Lucy from Charlie Brown type, she said, "You on the radio?" I was quietly determined to prove her wrong. When touring colleges, I kept an eye out for two main things: what the radio station looked like and the shower situation in the dorms. I ended up at Bemidji State University because it was close enough to home, yet far enough to feel like another place entirely. I had never been to Bemidji or even spent much time in northern Minnesota at all before looking at the school. My first semester, I took the intro to audio class, which required a shift on Rad 105, sort of a training wheel station. And then after that, I had various shifts on FM 90, Bemidji's music leader. And it was the real campus station, the one that all the tweens and teens listened to, the one that played in the campus rec center. I became Jammin' Jen for the next few years. And I loved everything about it, even hosted my own oldies show, Tuesday nights, over two summers. And when it was time to graduate, I sent out resumes to various small town radio stations, which were mostly ignored. I ended up with a sales job at a real country station in Grand Rapids. There were no local hosts. All the music was fed by satellite from Dallas, Texas. There was local people who read the ads, but they worked at a sister station at Evelyn, so I never even saw them. After about a month without making a single sale, remember, introvert, a new position opened there, and I was writing ads, scheduling the ads, doing billing. Did that for a few years, and I never felt very welcome there. Barely tolerated the 8 hours of real country, pure country, each day, but it was a job in radio. When I was a student in Bemidji, I was sort of vaguely aware of KAXC. And once I moved to the Grand Rapids area, I started listening more, mostly to Green Cheese. A few years into working at that country station, I abruptly quit, which is not very much like me, but I had reached my limit. And after a period of unemployment and a temporary office job, I figured that my radio career was probably over at the age of 24. But then I saw a job for member services manager at KAXC. I was not super confident that I would get that job, but I did, and I started working at KAXC in August of 2006. I immediately felt at home. These were my people. This was my place. Growing up, I had no idea that KAXC existed, and I sort of wonder what I would have thought of it if I had. This station that feels like the place where you live, where we can be real people with the goal of building community, where I've met some of the best people I have ever known. KAXC feels like it was made just for me, that quiet kid you could never imagine being on the radio.
We heard little trombone shorty going out to Catherine there.
Yep, trombone shorty keeping us going this morning, as is Vincent from Lafayette, Indiana, our good friend. Thank you, Vincent, sending in an additional pledge. He is a current member and just throwing a little few bones our way, says, I love you folks. Thank you, Vincent, so much. People like you are helping us keep going this morning. We have got a match on the table of an extra $1,000 today if we hear from 10 folks this morning. I think we're going to surpass that and fly right by it, Heidi. Mm-hmm. I've got a good feeling about today. The sun is red. What else can we, you know?
We
I don't
heard
know.
About Jam and Jen this morning from her
Jam
store.
And Jen.
Oh my gosh, I just love it.
I love her actually. Her physical embodiment of the Jam and Jen is one of my favorite things.
That's right.
Yeah.
You are listening to The Morning Show on People Powered KEXE. It's people like you that make this possible. People, your friends and neighbors who put it together for you each and every morning with care, with intention, bringing you things like local news, like updates on live music. We'll be hearing that from Malachi Coons coming up.
Yeah, he did a whole special set list this week on the web and covered music going on every single day this week from Monday through Sunday. So that is at KAXE.org, and it's an expanded set list this week in honor of this member drive, where we're talking about the music of KAXE and what the music of the station means, including we got a text last night. I just got to read this. Mm-hmm. Elizabeth was our host last night. She's new-ish. She's been around for about a year. And Maria texted in saying the DJ tonight is killing it. Love the info about Ladysmith guys playing with Paul Simon. Already jotted down two new bands in 15 minutes of listening. Nice job. And that, my friends, is what it's all about.
Yeah.
Sharing the music and introducing people to new and old, all kinds of music, you know, that comes from our DJs, our incredible DJs, sometimes personal collection, sometimes what they've dug into in the library. And a lot of our programming is done by volunteers. So huge shout out to our volunteers. But programming like that is special to KAXE, and we want to hear from you right now. Help support that. 218-326-1234 or at KAXE.org. We also want to thank area businesses like Harmony Food Co-op for their support of programming. Bemidji's full-service downtown grocery store, offering people a variety of local, organic, fair trade, and conventional items. Open daily from 8 to 8, more at harmonyfoods.coop. And on Facebook.
This is a special edition of The Setlist on KAXE, where we highlight live music around the area for the upcoming week. I'm Malachi Kuhn. We are celebrating our summer member drive with extra setlist this week. Stay tuned for a weekend update in the upcoming days. We are looking at four shows this Thursday, July 30th, in Chisholm, Park Rapids, Virginia, and Grand Rapids. First up, Steve Sokola is playing bands, brews, and barbecues at the Minnesota Discovery Center in Chisholm starting at 4:30. He is a one-man band, music and comedy show deeply inspired by his Finnish heritage and Bobby Arrow. And he'll also play folk songs from other Nordic countries. Steve Sokola in Chisholm at the Minnesota Discovery Center. In Park Rapids Thursday, Mae Simpson is playing the outdoor summer concert series Second Street Stage at 6. The powerful vocalist has a top-notch band who moved from blues and funk to pop, soul, and Americana. Their Chandelier and Bloom album was a hit in Minnesota in 2023. In Virginia, Rob Wheeler is playing with his new band Slim Chance at the Sugar Shack Street Show, 6 p.m. This is the singer and guitarist's new band since leaving Morning Bird, and it'll be interesting to see what direction he goes in next. Rob Wheeler and Slim Chance in Virginia at 6. One more Thursday show is the Grant Edwards Band at Rapids Brewing in Grand Rapids, also at 6. Led by singer-songwriter Edwards, they also feature vocalist Becky Gollis-Crum, Brady Kaysen on drums, and Daryl Schmidt on bass. The set list is made possible by the Arts and Cultural Heritage Fund. We'll post the latest edition every Wednesday at KAXE.org, where you can support our local music coverage by becoming a member today.
Thanks to Malachi Coons. This is the Thursday Morning Show. It's People Powered, KAXE. Longtime member Simon just texted in saying, I loved hearing Jennifer Barr's story this morning. It was great to learn a bit more about one of KXE's stalwart staff members. And I certainly related to the story of a young person trying to find one's way and one's people. Ongoing thanks to KXE and more power with the fundraiser. I'm thrilled to be a big fan and advocate for the station and the outstanding staff.
Thanks, Simon.
It's just because we have outstanding members like you, Simon. It's not. I mean,
if we didn't have the members, we would just be hollering to empty hallways.
Yeah. Thanks so much for being there for us. We need you to help us to keep it going this morning. That's how this happens. Little by little, individual by individual, helping us make this match. People came forward with matches, not some big corporation that said, mm-hmm. you know, well, if you mention us and tell people we're good, we'll give you money. No.
We'll make good on that offer. Nope.
People who want to make sure KEXE keeps going. I hate to overuse this phrase, but seriously, in these times mm-hmm. where all of public media has been defunded.
Well, right. We've just, you know, marked a year since the defunding of public media. And that is an ongoing issue. These were, you know, large percentages of budgets for us and for many, many stations around the nation. And we were able to fundraise last year in incredible, you know, in incredible ways. And the support we were seeing was incredible. But this is an ongoing thing. And we are still, you know, figuring out how to patch those holes.
We want to patch the holes.
We just want to patch the holes,
okay? Because I can't help you there. Not going to try. I help you through anything, Kari. But
you
no,
will,
no,
but not
I
that.
Sorry.
Draw the line.
I can tell that's not coming out of my mouth right either. I can just feel it.
The mouth isn't
But I
move
appreciate
like that.
The attempt at big words over
was
there.
Was it a little too early? Yes, right. You're not supposed to do that before 7 o'clock in the morning. I forgot.
Really?
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
It's a rule.
It's a rule?
Yep.
Wow.
Just made it up.
Okay, I like
Sounds
it.
Sounds pretty good.
I like it.
We're looking for your support right now of independent people-powered radio, KAXE. Call us 218-326-1234, or you can always join at KAXE.org, like Dr. Gonzo from Fauston, Carol from White Bear Lake, and Vincent from Lafayette, Indiana. Love to hear from you this morning. Or give us a shout on the text line, 218-326-1234.
A couple of the t-shirts have already gone out the door for memberships. When you pledge your support at $20 a month or above, you get this brand new, very sleek.
Very sleek.
Yes. Don't I look sleek?
That's exactly the word I was going to use.
I get that a lot.
That's weird that you would say that.
In my 5'1 self. People tell me sleek is really what I am told a lot. But it feels so good. It is so soft. I'm very picky about a t-shirt.
I don't
wear a lot of t-shirts.
The font is, it looks like Dare, but it says KAXE. Mm-hmm. Just say no to algorithms, because we were talking about handpicked radio, man. Mm-hmm. That's what this whole thing is about. We're handpicked since 76, which means Heidi just chose that Trombone Shorty song in honor of a dear friend, mm-hmm. Because that meant something to her, and she was able to do that. This is not pre-programmed radio. Mm-hmm. This is chosen by the voices that you're hearing. This is the music, the stories, the, you know, all of what you hear on KAXE is hand-picked. And we are proud of that. And we hope that's a reason that you listen. And it's harder and harder to find outlets like this, especially on the radio. It's an old medium, but we are still here.
Yeah. Yeah. We need you. And we're excited about today. It's going to be a great day of community. We're talking with our reporter, Larissa Donovan, in about an hour. Amazing series that Larissa's been working on. It was part of the Poynter Institute, a training, and Poynter helped with fact-checking and all kinds of different information. And it's not just important to, you know, the news team to do this story. This is a story that needed to be told about Northern Minnesota. It's called Overrepresented, Undercounted Indigenous Experiences with Incarceration. We put a call out, we heard from people, and we told their stories. Larissa told those stories. So she's going to be telling us more about that coming up at about 7:45 this morning.
This is KAXE 91.7. KAXE Grand Rapids, 90.5 KBXE Bagley Bemidji, 89.9 Brainerd, and on your smart speaker, celebrating 50 years of people-powered radio in northern Minnesota. Join us with your membership right now. KAXE.org or 218-326-1234. You know, I was telling Malachi earlier this week, Heidi, that, you know, we've had a subscription to a local publication where we would get news from. And that just recently increased, I think, the second time this year. It's over $20 a month. And Kyle looked at me and said, I think we should maybe just switch this over to KAXE on top of our membership, because getting more news from our news team than we were from that other source. And not saying to not support other sources. It's just when you think about where you put your money sometimes and what you're actually using, hopefully we are a service that you'll use, whether it's listening or through our web stories. There is so much news coverage going on every single day over at KAXE.org. That's something you value. We'd love to hear from you now. Maybe $20 a month. You get this Just Say No to Algorithms t-shirt. 218-326-1234 or at KAXE.org.
Lots of things going on in our region today. Smiles for Jake is holding their annual Miles for Smiles 5K Color Run and Memory Walk at Forest View Middle School in Baxter. There'll be yard games at 4 with a moment of remembrance at 5, followed by the run and walk. Funds raised support suicide prevention and mental health awareness. More information.